Well, hello everybody. Welcome to another episode of We Watch Shudder. My name is JD. Who's here with me?
It's Michelle from Minneapolis.
From Minneapolis. Okay, I was going to say I wasn't even aware you were out of town, but I was going to say coming to us from an unexpected and previously undisclosed location, except now it was previously undisclosed, but now it's disclosed.
Now it has been disclosed.
Right. So it's formerly
my own eyewitness protection program. Yeah.
Michelle, why are you in a hotel room?
Well, first off, I do want to say that I have never been a travel person. I grew up in, I was beyond like below poverty. So I did not travel ever. And apparently this is my travel year because I've now recorded two or three episodes from Minneapolis, one from Phoenix. I did not record an episode from Albuquerque, but I was there right before we recorded one. And I will be recording from Vegas in May. So that's insane to me that I am now a travel ho. But I am in Minneapolis this weekend because tomorrow I have VIP tickets to Fall Out Boy at the Target Center, and I am beyond excited, and I knew you would give me a face, but listen, I was an emo kid, non-conforming as could be, and it's my dream. I have never seen them live. They're dads now. I won't have a lot more opportunities. So I have VIP. I'm very close to the front of the stage. I could have gotten front and center, and I went, that is too much money. So I'm just slightly off. I'm so excited.
So it's been nice knowing you, Michelle. We can't.
There are
only,
way worse things only, that I could get
not
VIP
only does
tickets
this podcast
for.
Have to end. Our friendship has to end. This is the end. I will never speak to you.
I again. Still also like Aesop Rock, though. Does that count for nothing?
No, because look, not liking the right, it's just as important to not like the right things as it is to like the right things. Do you know what I mean?
Fall Out Boy's lyrics just speak to me, though.
Whatever.
My songs, Know What You Did in the Dark. I'm watching you from the closet, wishing to be the friction,
Michelle,
in your jeans.
Fine.
Great lyrics. Great.
Can I ask you one question, please?
Sure.
Am I more than you bargained for? Ya? Okay, that's never going to happen again. I will.
Oh, my God. That was great.
It wasn't. Apparently, that was way too
this
loud.
Is.
I think I woke up my neighbors and I gave myself a headache. Oh, my God.
The world is proving that it's a simulation because this entire week, all I've been seeing is Fall Out Boy content the entire week. And apparently it's like the 19 or 20 year anniversary of Sugar We're Going Down. And everybody's been posting about that. And they mentioned on last podcast on the left.
Oh,
is that
what that song
like
is called?
Fall Out Boy. Yeah. Sugar We're Going Down.
The one where he just.
Yeah.
I figured he was just scatting the whole time. Is that not? Wait, there's actual lyrics to that song?
I can't get into it right now. Pete Wentz and Patrick Stump had a massive feud when that came out because
whole thing because one of them was all about the melody and the other one was like, I don't give a shit about the melody. You just have to have every goddamn word in there.
Yeah.
Why did I read it? Because I hate myself, Michelle.
Loaded God complex, cock it and pull it.
Here's the one thing I will say. The one thing I will say about that is, look, at the end of the day, do I like Fall Out Boy? No, get the fuck out of here. But I know a lot of people who dig them. I actually know quite a few people who are going to that show tomorrow.
I know.
Like,
Me too.
And we all had
emotions as teenagers.
Yeah, I ain't gonna yuck your yum. I did just learn from that weird, which again, I have no idea why I stopped to read that little blurb article about that song because it was going around social media like 2 days ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
I have thought this entire time because obviously I didn't fucking look anything up. I thought he was saying a loaded gun complex.
Nope.
And I think my way is better.
No.
And now I hate that song even more.
Really? Loaded God complex is so good. The first album I ever bought of theirs was From Under the Cork Tree, released back in 2005. And there's a lyric on either the first or second track, but I'm pretty sure it's the first one that says, "The ribbon on my wrist says, do not open before Christmas." And God, me back in 2005, 2006, I was like, oh man, I get it. I love it. So good. Yeah. Great, great
Did you have a
band.
hair swoop
I
down
well,
over your eye?
I am going a little crazy with the makeup tomorrow. I'm
Oh,
very
Jesus.
excited.
I don't want
I'm very
anyway, so
excited.
this is not a goddamn Fallout Boy podcast. We're here to
It
talk
should
about
be.
horror. All I wanted to know was why Michelle was in a hotel room, and now I have to
Yeah.
admit that I know multiple lyrics to Fallout Boy songs.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that.
Jesus Christ. Look, I
We'll convert
you've
you.
met look, you've met Stephanie. Come on. You know I know at
I
least a
know.
little Fallout Boy.
Of course. That's why I know that you weren't going to just immediately block me, but I did know that I couldn't tell you my plans until we were recording.
We're going down, 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 down.
Sugar, we're going down
What
swinging.
are
Well, if they're not
you?
gone
Anyway.
by now, they definitely are now.
Well, we just
Okay,
talked
bye.
about Fallout Boy for 5 minutes, Michelle. Whose fault is that?
Yep.
Yours. So,
Yours.
okay, anyway, we are here to talk
If you
about who,
didn't yuck
as
my
look,
yum, I wouldn't have to defend it.
as long as Michelle just spent 5 minutes talking about Fallout Boy, I'm going to talk to you guys for just a moment about, because Michelle's having a fantastic day. I
Oh,
am
no.
having a terrible day
But you're
because,
eating cheese.
well, I will get to why this little
Okay.
bit of very mellow, mild cottage cheese is the highlight of my day.
Oh, wow.
Because I have spent the last day and a half experiencing a very ridiculous reaction with a medication that my doctor gave me that's supposed to help with my diabetes. And I haven't been able to keep anything in my stomach for like 24 hours. Michelle, I ate a banana for lunch and my system couldn't take it. A banana. A banana and some water. I was finally able to put down a little bit of like plain pasta and a little bit of plain cottage cheese. But I mean, I love me some food and I am cranky pants. I'm having these like pit of hell, like rancid sulfur, like farting out of my face belches on a regular basis. It's the fucking worst. Anyway, that's the
Wow.
horror movie I'm living, belching
Oh.
hell, like farting out of my mouth.
That's a great
Oral
Fall Out Boy title.
flatulence. Oral
It's a great
flatulence
song.
is gonna, that's also a death metal song right there. Oral
Yes.
flatulence.
Yeah. Well,
Maybe
Fall Out Boy is
grindcore.
technically death metal, right? I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. I'm so
Anyway, let's
kidding.
talk about
I'm
this
so
movie.
kidding.
Jesus, we are
Yeah.
almost, it's been a while since we got through 8 minutes of a therapy session, which I
Yeah,
think this,
usually we put it at the end.
yeah, this mostly qualifies as the therapy portion, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The
Yeah, I
life
think Fall Out Boy
update
is the way I
portion.
am, the way I am. So
So
absolutely.
if this is your first time listening, I'm sorry. We'll talk about the movie now. It's
I'm
called
not
We
sorry.
Watch. It's, Michelle never apologizes. No
No.
regerts.
No.
We watch movies on Shudder. Sometimes we watch movies from other places, mostly stuff from Shudder. Like, why do I even keep doing this? You guys, you're rather intelligent people. You found the podcast. You know what we're doing here. Today we're talking about a new, is it an exclusive or an original? I forgot to look, Michelle.
I can tell you in 2 seconds, once I close out this Fall Out Boy tab, it is an
Cool, it's an
exclusive.
exclusive. I beat you to it. It's a
Yes.
Shudder exclusive, and it's called Michelle?
Egghead.
Baghead. Wait, did you say Baghead
Oh my God, we're not going to get into the
or
five different ways to enunciate an
Baghead?
A. I know it's wrong. I do not give a fuck. Pronouncing it baghead is difficult. It's
Baghead.
difficult.
It's
Baghead, the long A is easier, and fuck it. I don't have much apathy left in me. It's all save for the concert tomorrow.
fair
So
enough.
Baghead, aka
Baghead.
Baghead, depending on where you're from.
This is a new movie from Director Alberto Corridor. I did a little look into the people who made this. And so far as the director, writer, producer team, like, this is their baby, right? Like, they made a short film, same director, same producer, same writers. They made a short film, like, in 2017 that apparently was a big hit or got a lot of attention. And now they've moved on and made this feature-length film. And this is... the cast they got is definitely more experienced, but this is like their first go round, so they're really a lot on the line for them emotionally. Or I don't know, maybe they don't give a shit what we thought of their movie. They probably don't, but I don't know. It's always fun to see a very first effort like this, I think, is what I was ultimately trying to get to. But I haven't eaten more than a spoonful of cheese in a day, so cut me some slack.
I couldn't find this short anywhere. Could you?
I could not either.
I really wanted to watch it.
I genuinely, because I didn't know it was based on a short till it rolled in the credits and it said it was based on a short. And then I immediately went to see if I could find it somewhere because I did want to try and watch it. Could not find it.
Well, if somebody out there in listener land knows where we can watch this, I'll pay to rent it. I just want to see it.
Yeah, hook us up. Hook us up. Anyway, Michelle, why don't you summarize for these good folks? Even when the summary is a sentence, they can't help but spoil some things. It's so frustrating. So tell us the abridged version of the summary from IMDb that we settled on.
Absolutely. A young woman inherits a rundown pub and discovers a dark secret within its basement. Baghead.
A Shudder exclusive.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. She gets a pub. There's something in a pub. Shit gets weird.
Yep. Great.
Michelle.
Premise.
Yeah, well, that's the episode. Thanks, Elise. How many times can I pull off that's all we have to say before this episode is done?
I think two
in this episode. I'm trying to set a record. I'm not saying how many episodes can I do it, and I can definitely do it in every single episode. I'm saying how many times can I do it in this episode, because I'm at two already.
Well, that's the episode.
Have a good evening, everybody. You did it, Dad. So good. Awesome. Anyway, Michelle, tell us your spoiler-free thoughts about Baghead.
Okay. I definitely will absolutely do that. God, there's so much that I really, really love about this. There's some stuff that really takes away from it. And I had to decide, are the good things enough to outweigh the bad? Given how much I really like what this movie does well, I said, fuck it. I can accept a lot of those other things and I can really enjoy this and gloss over it. I had to have that debate. I landed on the side of, you know what, there's so much that I did enjoy that fine, whatever, it will get a 4.5 from me.
4.5 after that bit of review from Michelle. I guess I was thinking as you were talking there, I was like, oh, she's probably gonna land on like a 3.5, then a little. I was like, maybe a 4. I wasn't expecting you to go that full 4.5. That's that's pretty impressive. I'm very similar on this one. There is a lot that I really, really enjoyed about this. Most of what I didn't enjoy about this is got third act problems in the script. There are things that happen in the story where I'm just like, I'm immediately asking questions that you don't want your audience to be asking in this sort of, at least I don't think you do. But I very much agree with you. There was enough about this that I enjoyed. Is it perfect? No. Once I found out it's a first feature effort and what's going on here and what they were able to pull off. Yeah, it needs some, this one doesn't quite get there. It shows a lot of promise. That's exactly why I immediately went to see what these guys have done, because I've never heard of them, but I was like, oh, there might be some interesting stuff here. Turns out, no, but it's that perfect example of good enough for me to have, for you to be on my radar now, is ultimately what I'm trying to say. I can talk about the things that I didn't care for about it, but overall, I really enjoyed this. I was going to go on a 4 skull for this one, 4 out of 5.
Okay, sweet. So that makes an average of 4.25 human skulls out of 5.
One of my biggest complaints just right up front is we're going to have to talk about that title, but we'll do that in a little bit more detail when we get into the spoiler section.
Yeah.
It's like slap face all over again.
I know. I also thought where I'm like, wait, these good movies with like, come on.
Who picked this title? Come on, fellas. Anyway,
I know. It's gonna
we're
be
gonna.
like Slap Face where the creator listens and they're like, oh yeah, I know why you didn't like it. So
Hopefully, I mean, that'd be cool if that happens. Maybe we can get a
that
new
would be
blurb
cool.
for the website. Anyway, have you guys noticed that, by the way? Jeremiah Kipp, writer director of Slap Face, was very complimentary about our episode about his movie, even though, like, I mean, we didn't, weren't like, oh, best movie ever, 5/5/5. You know, it was a great movie, it was a good time. And he was very nice to us, and that was kind of cool. Anyway, we're gonna do spoilers now. So I really do think you should go see this movie before we spoil things for you. I know Jenna's not going to. I know several
Yeah,
other of you
Jenna.
are not going to. Frisk probably won't.
Nope,
You
absolutely
know,
not.
but she'll be like, "Oh, why are they talking about me?" Because you don't watch the movies. That's why.
Yeah,
Because
and
you
we adore
don't
you
watch
for
the
it.
movies. I'm going to Chicago in the first weekend of May to watch hopefully 75 movies in 2 days. And you won't watch the movie before we do. Anyway, this is going to get real weird. Let's get into spoilers, Michelle. You want to do that wonderful
Yeah.
thing you do?
Yeah, I will give it my best attempt to summarize this movie. God, I watched it 14 hours ago. Wish me luck. So there's a lady. Her name is
Iris.
Iris. Yes, there's a lady named Iris, and she doesn't have parents, but just kidding. She does have a parent. And that parent, nope, never mind. She doesn't have parents because he died. And now she has his big prison-like pub. And she's like, that's pretty neat. I like living here now. And then she's like, there's this creepy guy, and he just showed up and said he wanted to talk to his dead wife and he needs to get into the basement. I guess I'm gonna trust him. And then she gets this tape handed over to her that said it has instructions about the building. And she goes, huh, that's mysterious. Well, save that for later. Let's go talk to whoever's in the basement. So she does that and she learns some stuff. There's a person named Baghead, and Baghead can conjure dead people. And then by accident, she finds out that she can control Baghead. And she's like, that's pretty dope. And then some stuff gets weird and she goes, maybe I should go watch that instruction video from my dead father. And she learns that Baghead was a witch who was locked here and can commune with the dead and this whole thing. And she's like, that's pretty cool. The instructions are pretty clear that I shouldn't talk to this baghead person because they'll manipulate me. But you know what? I think I should go talk to the baghead person. I think I should do that several times, in fact. I think that's a really smart thing to do. No wonder it's clear she did not have parents because nobody taught her that that was a bad idea. So then, oh, hang on. I was going to say, JD's, you can
No,
correct me later. I
continue.
know
No,
she has
continue.
parents. Okay, so,
I was having a fidget.
oh, okay. So then, some shenanigans happen. This guy Neil, who wants to talk to his wife, turns out he wants to talk to her because he thinks that she was leaving him. And then that session goes badly. But then there's another session where she accuses him of killing her, and that's probably the truth. So this Neil guy, he just like caused a lot of bad things to happen, and now we're gonna have some bad things happen to him because he fucking kills Iris, brings her body back, and then Baghead is like, oh, hey. Hey, you brought her back, but she's me because I am the deed owner and I am Iris. And there's this loophole that you didn't see coming. And then she kills him and now she's free. And you know what? Good for her. Baghead, 2023, 1 hour, 34 minutes.
Baghead. Now, I do want to point out right
Bag.
away, Michelle, that you mentioned that even though the instructions tell her not to use the video frequent or not to use the baghead
Baghead.
person too frequently, she does it anyway. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later and how there's actually this is a little. This is a little more clever than I think you might have caught on with that aspect. I
Okay.
don't even know why I'm saying, well, let's just get right into it. So
Yeah.
the whole idea here is there's this witch, or so this woman who had powers and was, you know, condemned as a witch, and then she tried to destroy everything and they imprisoned her, and now it's been this whole thing for like 400 years. When you watch that video, like this movie could very easily, it's to be also a bad title, but this movie could easily be titled "This Is Why You Always Read the Instructions First." Because I think that's crucial to the plot here. She goes and messes with things before she watches the video. Mm-hmm. And they tell you in the video that you have to stop at 2 minutes. If you don't stop at two, like the moment you pass 2 minutes, she takes over and has power now and will start to get into you. She has already gone well past that 2 minute line before she ever watches the video. It's too late. And I like that about this. This movie is very much about those ideas of, like, they talk about it at the beginning of the film, like the, in the video that her dad leaves for her. He's like, I'm sorry, but you're already dead. Like, this is a curse, and this is how things. I'll be honest, I didn't legitimately expect that she was going to die. So when she does die before the end of the film, I was legitimately surprised. I was like, oh, shit, what's going on here? And then, of course, the end rolls in. I don't think that was any kind of loophole in her being to leave. I think she was saying, because she talks about how like he tries to just sign his name on the deed and take it over. And then he's like, well, maybe I can get her to sign it over to me. And she says specifically, no, she has to die. And so she dies, but her being dead means that there's nobody to, so basically the way I think it happens is one guardian has to die before the next guardian can take over. You can't just pass it on to somebody else, and go away. And so, but then somebody else has to come in and assume the ownership. Like, they have to take the ownership willingly. So I think the only loophole here is not anything in the demonic contract situation. What she's saying is, well, now I'm able to completely mimic the person who owns this establishment, and there's nobody left here to block me, so I'm just going to kill you and leave. I thought it was just so brilliantly, because that's what they're getting at towards the end there, is Baghead has casually, or not casually, has been conscientiously manipulating this entire situation from the beginning. From before this movie ever started, Baghead has been, like, this is very much that Ari Aster idea of, like, everybody in this movie was fucked before the movie ever started. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it played those levels very, very well.
There was nothing you just said that I did not pick up on. I 100% all of that. Yeah, no, okay. It was already fucked. I'm just saying, not from a plot perspective. I know why it happens. It's just like, you dumb fucking person. Like, like, just read the instructions before you do anything else. It's just like, it's one of those things where you have to accept, like, it makes sense in a horror movie, don't go in the basement.
You do make a good point there, which is that, and these are some of the problems going on in the script. Because you do have to, because here's what wouldn't happen. She's just inherited this ridiculous building from her father, who she's never known, barely at all. A weird dude showed up in the middle of the night talking about a lady locked up in the basement. She goes to
see
his
dead wife.
Right. Or who can at least help him talk to his dead
wife. Talk to his wife. Yep.
She says, I don't have a key, but I can get one. She goes to get the key. There's a video included with the key. I do not believe there's a single person on the planet who wouldn't immediately go home and find a way to watch that video.
Yep.
I do not believe that for a moment. And that, you know, it's a hole. They have to, you know, even if you have to adjust the script, so for some reason, you know, going to getting the videotape somehow happens after the first encounter. But yeah, so there's a big sign where you have to. Also, I'm not a fan of those moments, like in the third act here, where Katie, her friend, manages to get the that Otto, whatever his name was, guy to come back in the baghead, and like they just have that. Oh, here's the exposition. Let me just explain the whole thing to you right in the middle here. I feel like that could have been massaged a little bit and been done a little bit less. Like it's just, oh, just throw the thing up and now here's the whole thing just laid out to you. And I just feel like that could have used a little bit more. How about you?
They do that twice, and one of the ones that really bothers me is right before the movie is done, they do an entire recap of the events, complete with scenes showing you everything. And I'm like, why is this necessary? We just watched the movie. It's not like this all made 100% sense. You didn't have to do this.
Well,
So
I
there are
think
those
that
kind of things that I
montage,
just have to forgive, but.
I think that montage was at least intended because they cut it with some extra footage now of the baghead woman like inside her cave, her tomb in the basement. And it's that sequence where they're implying that she's manipulated everything the whole time. But yeah, it is kind of, it's just kind of there. There are other things about, like, first of all, like, are they in Germany? Are they in the UK? Where are, because the medicine bottle, when he gives her the Ambien, it looks like it's in German. But they all speak with, I don't know if that was intentional, that it was just supposed to be vaguely European, or what, but it's very much like the Queen's Head is very much like a British tavern sort of name, a British pub kind of name. So I don't know. I don't know what was going on there, but what did you think, Michelle, of the effects and the spookies in this movie?
I
'Cause I know you
have
get down with the
so,
spookies.
yeah, I have so many notes written down. Sometimes
Go on a tear.
I watch a lot of movies where I just don't really have a lot to say about it. I like it, I don't like it. I just don't have a lot to like tell other people about how I feel about it. And I've talked about how I started a little movie recap list, like a log for myself to start figuring out like how do I say how I feel about this movie if somebody else asked me. Can I say at least one thing that like this sums it up? Like it was fun. Even if it's something like that, being able to say like this is what I liked about it. I like the cast. And I've been getting better about that. But this one, throughout the entire thing, I felt compelled to write notes. And I wrote a lot of notes because I was like, I need to make sure I mention this on the show. And we won't even be able to get through all of them because there's a lot of stuff. But I just kept being like, man, I can't wait to talk about this thing. A big one that just kept coming up constantly were the effects in this. I mean, it starts with such a strong opening, where we have a lot of questions, and then we just watch a guy get burnt alive. And it's not like the most realistic thing, but it is a really good effect that I enjoyed. I thought it was effective, even if it's not realistic, but I don't need that to be realistic. I don't need to watch a guy actually like get burned alive. And then we have other things like just very little things.
Hang
Like
on,
what?
hang on. I would just like to point out that that's possibly one of the best out of context quotes we'll ever get on this show. I don't need to see somebody actually burned alive. No shit, you don't need to see that,
I mean,
Michelle.
I've seen it so many times. The internet is a thing,
I
and I'm a
know,
morbid curiosity
right? I
person.
know. I
I
obviously I
know what it's
understand
like.
you were talking about a live burn special effect. You didn't need to actually see a stuntman set on fire, but goddamn,
That
that
would have
was
been
I didn't
pretty
just
good,
and also just the tone with which you said it was just like so blasé. I don't need to see a dude get really
We've
set
all
on
seen
fire.
it.
Jesus. Oh, it was wonderful. Please continue.
I'm such a like happy-go-lucky person, and then I'm oh, hang on. Oh, okay. Well, the
Oh,
husband
we got
has
a
entered
run
the
in. We
room.
got a run in by Mr. Michelle. Are you,
Yeah,
now
Mr.
here's the
Michelle.
question. Here's the question,
Yeah.
Michelle.
Yeah.
Is he going to fall out? Well, that's not even. Of course, he's going to the show with
Of
you.
course he's going to Fall Out Boy. Is he happy about it? He's more excited for
Can we
Jimmy
ask
Eat World.
him? Can we ask him? Bring him over here.
John, I know you don't have a headphone in. Can you come over here for a second?
John.
Put a headphone in.
Hey. Okay. This is so like fun. It's like live radio.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi,
JD,
John. Can you hear
some
me?
Some questions for you.
Okay, John, tell me just briefly your thoughts about being dragged into seeing Fall Out Boy tomorrow.
Well, okay, so Fall Out Boy, I used to listen to, but not that much. There's another band called Hot Mulligan, which is pretty good.
Okay.
That's opening. I'm excited to see them.
Sweet.
I'm also excited to see Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah, Jimmy Eat World is, what was their whole jam? The middle?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It just takes some time. Anyway, I just saw you there, and I wanted to bring you in and introduce you to all of our podcast people. Say hi to the podcast world, Mr. Michelle.
Hello.
Okay, you can go away now. I'm sorry to make it awkward for you.
It's okay.
All right, have a good evening.
It's all right. All right, bye.
Oh, man. So charming.
Good times.
Oh. I love that he's so excited about the opening acts, and I'm like, well,
no,
okay,
look,
then.
You got to respect that though, right? Like,
I do.
Like,
yeah.
Fellas tagging along for like a big time, like nostalgia throwback, you know, 20 years ago, good time kind of deal. But he knows who the new bands are that are on that show too. That's pretty dope. Anyway,
John actually understands and knows a lot about music. He goes to like local stuff. He's a pretty cool guy. I'm not. Fall Out Boy.
Tell him that if he doesn't want to be on the show ever again, he should make sure I don't see him in the frame because it makes me happy.
Fair.
And I'm like, anyway, no, don't tell him
yeah,
now.
John,
we're in the middle of
oh,
an episode.
Oh, I was
going to
tell. No, we're committed to it.
Oh, God, here we go.
If you
so
never want to be in an episode in the future, you just have to make sure you're never seen on camera again. So. Okay. Anyway,
he didn't even know he was on camera. That's wonderful. Anyway, yeah, you were talking about the effects.
I got very distracted.
This has been a real interesting chaos episode, but like not in a bad way. It's a lot of fun.
I know. What a day. I went to Fogo de Chao earlier, so I've just got like
shut up
going on. It was underwhelming. Anyway,
what?
So
have you been before? No, we got a pause. Baghead can wait, Michelle. We're talking Fogo.
Well, I've been to Carnival in Sioux Falls.
Okay.
I've been to Carnival, which is the same thing, but a million times better. I was kind of underwhelmed by Fogo de Chao.
Oh, anyway, I guess everybody's got their preferences, but that might be the first time I've heard somebody say that. I am a fan of both. I do like Fogo a little bit more, but...
Carnival's my favorite, and this it wasn't even close.
You know, it might just be because it's called Fogo de Chao, and that's like that's a weird kind of name. Carnival was like a TV show on HBO or whatever, Showtime, some shit a while back. It's not, Fogo de Chao is like, it's a little weirder. It's like, is it Latino? Is it an Asian descent? What is it? What does it mean? Is that like a
Brazilian.
Chaos? Is that like a chaos? Yeah, I know, Michelle. I'm saying just before you know, like you see it could go this way. It could go that way. It sounds weird. Like it might be magic. You know, maybe it's a Harry Potter thing. Fogo de Chao. That's, you know, I don't know. This got real weird. Let's talk about the movie again, huh? Why don't you continue telling us about all the wonderful effects?
Absolutely. So one thing that I like is obviously they use CGI. I mean, we don't see a guy burn alive, for real. But there's some really good, simple CGI effects. There's a lot of this that is just effective makeup and costuming. And God, I appreciate that. When she comes like crickety cracketing out of her hole and she's got this like bag, there's not really a lot done from a CGI perspective. I'm sure it was enhanced a little bit, but that is just, you could see that person walking around on set as is. And the way that they just use the lighting and the camera to enhance what we're seeing. God, I love that. I hate that people rely so heavily on CGI. And I was just very appreciative of that. And then when we do have CGI moments, there are some big things, but there are also some really nice small things, like when her neck gets just a little too long, where you're like, oh no. And it's not like a big thing. They basically just like a little too long.
And
God,
it goes
I
in
love
stages,
that.
Right? It's not like a smooth transition. It's like, That got me real good. Yeah. Real effective.
I didn't know I needed somebody like giraffing. And apparently that's a thing that I'm a big fan of, somebody suddenly giraffing. When his face is peeling, that could have been like oh, look at how gory this is, and that would not have been effective. Instead, it's a sack like Baghead. That was so unnerving. It's very apparent CGI. Again, not great. I just like CGI never looks realistic at this point. Like, we just can't. But the way that they do it, where it's not gory, it is instead very upsetting, and yeah, it's a bag instead. Like, I love that, and it's just this smooth head shape. Like, sure. Ooh, that's very effective.
And they do the smart mm-hmm. thing there, where that particular transition happens in a dream sequence, right? So it doesn't necessarily yep. need to be, you know, that it's very well timed for that effect. Yes. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and even outside of CGI effects, I love the way that they use lighting and camera angles in this. Even if we have something like when she's signing the papers saying that she's going to take ownership, we are watching from far away, still feeling like we're part of this conversation from like behind a bookcase full of clutter for certain shots of that. But instead of feeling like we're detached from the scene, instead it's emphasizing the spookiness and the weird atmosphere that she's now going to find herself immersed in. And we're kind of further away, feeling like, oh, this is kind of like an isolated, very weird, unnatural situation. And those kind of things are really effective. One of my favorite things, this is an effect I've seen in a lot of things, but for some reason, this really worked for me. And it is the lights blinking on and off to show us the scene. The car lights blinking. There is something that I think worked really well. And I think it's because it wasn't very rapid, and we're all familiar with how blinkers work. So we know exactly when that next on moment is happening. It gives us enough time to take in the scene, but I think more importantly, it moves very slowly, so you have time to actually process what's happening. I was really appreciative of that. And it was one of those things where I was like, man, this is a good movie, even if I'm not enjoying all the things that they're doing story-wise. It did give me a headache, though, and I did have to look away, which is unfortunate. I hate that.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
I did. I agree. I also really liked those. I thought they used those strobing effects to their advantage. Mm-hmm. And I like all the same things you did. I like that it wasn't a crazy fast strobe. I also like that they did the very sensible thing of, you're right, they got really good makeup, and then they don't ever show you anything for too long. In fact, there's yep. one point where they do, and it's in the third act where, frankly, the movie gets a little James Wan-y. You know what I mean as I say it, because you've seen it. And there's yep. like some shots of the Baghead like crawling across the ceiling, and you see its face for too long, and then you recognize that, oh, there's some manipulation going on here. And it's, but no, I agree. I love the way, the Baghead moves. They did some very clever things just with, I imagine it's just like an in-camera effect, similar to, what you've seen. Like, the thing that comes to mind for me right away is, Mad Max Fury Road, where they just speed up the camera just a little bit to make things mm-hmm. look unnatural. So, you know, rather than going at speed one, we're going to have you go at speed 0.5, and then we're going to speed it up. So it looks, you're at the mm-hmm. right speed, but it looks weird. And they did that really well. Just very clever. It's a very well strategized film for what definitely had to be a tiny budget. And I thought they did really, they did one of the best things you can ever do, which is they found really good locations to really amp up their production value. I did think the exteriors of the pub made it feel way bigger than the interiors.
Exactly. I thought it was a prison at first. Yeah. Like, with the way it's like walled in, that was a little misleading.
The whole building yeah. burns down, right? But we never yeah. see more than three or four rooms in this entire thing. I guess maybe the idea is the pub is just in that building, but because she burned the pub, the whole building also went up with it. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure they say she owns the building. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. So that was a little jarring for me. But again, not enough to to ruin the experience overall.
No. I was surprised to like this because I think I just very rarely actually like the lots and lots of content that
Oh,
I consume.
sure.
And this was just a nice little treat. And
Yeah.
I think there are going to be people who don't like it for the things that you and I are willing to forgive.
For sure, for sure.
But it's just really fun. I just had fun watching it and appreciating these techniques that I think are underutilized. And I'm so excited to see what more all of these people will put out there.
They did start to hint at one point at the idea that this pub, in addition to the Baghead, might also be haunted by the ghosts of all of its previous caretakers. I think I would have liked them to explore that a little bit more. I thought that was really interesting. That first appearance, when she's looking, when Katie, the friend, is looking through those pictures, it happens right about 40 minutes into the film. She's looking at that picture of Otto and the other guy who was the guy who signed the paperwork with Iris to give her the house. And she sets the photo down and fucking dude is just right there behind the photo. And there's not, like, they don't play it with like a loud hammer sting or anything. There is a loud noise, but the loud noise we get is Katie's reaction, right? Like she screams and she stands up and the chair gets knocked across the room, but there's no stinger. They do some stuff with the music right away after the moment happens, but it's just really effective. And that was a moment that made me sit up and say, all right, Baghead, all right, you got my attention. Let's see where this goes.
That's just a great out of context. Okay, Baghead, let's see where this goes. I'm just going to start saying that.
We
got to
talk about, all right, we got to talk about this title, Michelle. Listen,
Baghead.
Alberto Corredor, the other folks who were involved in this that I don't have on the screen right in front of me right now. Christina Pamies, Bryce McGuire, Lorcan Riley. I guess Lorcan Riley was the writer of the original short. Alberto Corredor also direct. Look, guys, you did good here. You did good. Oh, you could have done better than Baghead. First of all, I'm pretty sure nobody in the movie actually refers to her as Baghead. Or the Baghead. The only place I ever see it is in the subtitles. I don't remember anybody in the film actually calling. So, yes, she does wear a burlap sack over her head with the one eye hole cut out, a la Michael. I almost said Michael Myers. Jesus, a la Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th Part 2, and I dig it, right? I love those moments where I love the simple fact that she eats the thing that allows her to transform into the dead. Like, that's so, there's an ick there, an ick factor. That sequence where he thinks he's going to see his wife and he gets his mom. There was a minute there where I was like, oh, this is going to be a movie about people who come to this witch trying to get things they want. And they end up getting things they need, but maybe they are not ready for. That's another angle that I would have liked, that it's a good premise that could have been mined for some more stuff along the way, but doesn't overstay its welcome in any way.
But Baghead.
Come on, guys. Come on. You can do better than Baghead.
You know what? I don't even mind it because I think Slapface desensitized me where I'm like, that's dumb. There's a reason for it. But that's dumb.
Right.
And now we've got Baghead. And I'm like, you know what? If the next thing is like Spooky Man and it's a ghost movie, I'm here for it. At this point, like just be like Creepy Basement. Cool.
All right. This is a Creepy Basement. I'm in.
Exactly.
I'm
like it tells
in.
You it's about
Let's
a Baghead.
It.
Cool.
Just throw me a videotape and say there's a scary movie on this. I don't even want to know that it doesn't have a title. Just watch it. Okay, fine.
Oh, have you heard of that new slasher film, Knife Hurts?
Jesus.
Be like, cool. I know what that's all about. It tells you everything you need to know. Baghead. There's a bag that's on a head, and that can't be good. You never seen anybody with a bag on a head and been like, that's good. I'm glad to see that.
Michelle's on a tear, and I love it.
Baghead.
Yeah, Baghead. check this movie out. Here's it can't possibly be a coincidence that this movie about the ability to talk to dead people but is on a strict time limit of 2 minutes is happening within the same like 12-month time frame, if not the same calendar year, as another movie about only being able to talk to dead things for a limited period of time, a movie we may have heard of called Talk to Me. I thought that was...
You also made that connection. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was like... And don't get me wrong. Like, and that's not a spoiler for Talk to Me. That's minute one, you know, principle. There's a thing where they talk to dead people. But here's the thing is... they are completely different movies, but there's no fucking way that's a coincidence, right? Somebody...
It's all a simulation.
Well, look, I'm not... Because I don't know the history of either project. I'm just saying, seems like maybe these guys made this movie, but this short baghead that got a lot of attention. Then the other guys swooped in. They were like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's use that to make our own story. And then, look, it looks suspicious is all I'm saying, Talk to Me. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm just saying there was a computer glitch, and whoever's in charge of the computer went, fuck, we accidentally gave them two movies about talking to dead people for a limited amount of time. They're going to catch on.
No,
name it something completely different. They're like, well, one of them's Talk to Me. That makes sense. And they're like, fuck, Baghead. They'll never make the connection.
Yeah. No, it's not a legit criticism at all. I just found that very wild that it's like, wow, that's like the exact same. Like, it's definitely not a Fear.com situation where Fear.com literally just rapid-fired into production and release so it could rip off the idea behind The Ring before The Ring was released in America. Anyway.
I am just looking
Fear.com
forward
is
to...
not a movie I enjoyed.
I enjoyed it. Oh. Now it's not good, but I did enjoy it when it came out because I was like, ooh, the internet's spooky. I am looking forward to somebody watching both Talk to Me and Baghead and being like, I have an idea for the perfect movie. And then we get Talk to Me, Baghead next year. Talk to Me, comma, Baghead.
Talk to Me, Baghead.
Come on, Baghead. Talk to Me, Baghead.
No, maybe, Michelle, in true... absurd horror movie, genre movie fashion, Talk to Me versus Baghead.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoa. I can get behind this. I have no idea what it would look like in execution, but I'm down.
I figure Baghead is going to have to hold on to the Talk to Me hand and say Talk to Me, and then, oh, shit's going crazy.
I have thoughts, and I can't articulate them.
We need to get some people on the phone immediately.
Just everybody involved with the making of Baghead short and feature-length film. I feel like those are our people to go to. They didn't have anything else on their IMDb profiles. They're going to be easier to get a hold of than the Talk to Me people, because we aren't in Australia.
Yeah,
England's a little bit closer.
Let's go. They got that A24 money at this point. You know, they're probably all like, oh, we don't need to look, guys. You're missing the point. Do you understand? This could be the greatest crossover the last great crossover. I'm clearly out of energy, Michelle. What else do we have?
I was going to say, you're speaking like somebody who has only had cottage cheese to eat for the past 36 hours.
It's been a real hell of a day, you guys. It's been a good time. Like, this movie's enjoyable. Go watch it. Do we have anything else important we need to talk about before we wrap this fiasco up?
No, just a bonus episode about Fallout Boy that drops tomorrow.
Oh, no, that's definitely not happening. No, Michelle, no.
My songs Know What You Did in the Dark, JD, and they do not approve.
Say goodnight, Michelle.
Goodnight, Michelle.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world-famous patent-pending Ghoul Blog and Squelch Files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media at WeWatchShudder on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I guess Twitter if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us. mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address. mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really, 701-566-9510. Give it a shot, see what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media.